It's 6 o'clock and it's time to start our city council meeting. We'd like to welcome everybody out this evening. It's here. Appreciate you coming this evening. We're going to begin with invocation and a pledge of allegiance. And Darren, are you going to lead us in?
Sure. Are we ready to go? Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we could be here tonight, and please guide us in our decisions. Please bless all the people who are going to be new officials, that they can be guided in their decisions, and thankful for those who serve. And please bless this city, that we can have love and harmony and have a place where we can have good families and good people. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As we begin, I'd like to congratulate John Valenti and Amanda Barr for their wins on the City Council. And we thank Christian for throwing his name in there, too. I appreciate all of you that have a willingness to serve your community, and we look forward to working with both of you in this coming years here. So, we have a couple of reports to us for us this evening. One of them is from the ZRC, Zion Regional Collaborative. Would you like to come up? And is Emily?
Yeah.
And report to us on what is going on with the ZRC.
Happy to do that. Hi, I'm Emily Friedman. I'm the coordinator for the Zion Regional Collaborative, and I've been in this role for just about 6 years now. So I work particularly closely with Patty, but with Darren and Kyle as well, representing the ZRC. We've also been happy to have you, Mayor Wilson, attend one of our workshops. So I wanted to come here today just to talk to you all a little bit about what the ZRC does and what our priorities are moving forward. The history of the group dates back to even 2008 with the Zion Canyon Corridor Council. That was a group that was started to help bring together all of the stakeholders through the Zion region. So all the way over to the east side of the park, and then down here into Laverkin and Hurricane. That group continued up until around 2016, and that's when I'm sure you all experienced kind of visitation to the area skyrocket, a lot of changes. Around that time, the University of Utah came down and did a situation assessment. The National Park hosted a collaboration clinic that Laverkin was involved in. The takeaway from both of those was basically that we all need to keep talking to each other. And that's what the ZRC really tried to kick off. So today there are three primary things that I wanted to highlight that the ZRC takes on. The first are our quarterly workshops. Our next one is tomorrow, actually here in the council chambers from 9 to 1. That usually brings together about 20 to 30 different folks, and that includes folks from public lands, the mayors of Springdale, Rockville, Virgin, council members from here in Laverkin, also folks representing the nonprofits like Zion Forever Project, the Nature Conservancy, anybody who has a vested interest in what goes on in this area. During those workshops, we do a handful of different things. First and primarily, we just share updates with each other to learn about the different projects that are going on, to look for opportunities to coordinate. And folks really benefit from those. But beyond that, we have presentations about different groups, what they're working on, projects. Tomorrow, the Five County Association of Governments will be coming down. They have a new executive director, so it'll be an opportunity for everyone to meet him. We also do subcommittees and separate meetings on particular subjects, so our transportation subcommittee, our trails collaborative, and And then lastly, those groups often identify projects that are of particular importance, and so the DRC helps add capacity to those too. So the one that we've been working on most that came up at a recent Lamarcon City Council meeting was the Zion Scenic Byway Corridor Management Plan. That's a document we applied for a grant to develop. The council here in Lamarcon also provided matching funds for that alongside Springdale, Rockville, Virgin, and Washington County as well. So again, a great collaboration, and we're hoping that document will be able to be used to, you know, guide more collaborative projects in the region, everything from, you know, where we need rest stops and pullouts along State Route 9 to what kinds of signage and wayfinding materials should we have. So that, in kind of a nutshell, is what the DRC tries to do through its workshops, through those other meetings, and through our projects, just trying to encourage folks to work together to make sure that everyone's on the same page about what our priorities are. But also to empower each of the individual communities. The ZRC isn't a top-down organization. It's not trying to prescribe any one thing for each community. We're just trying to add capacity so that each of you can continue doing what you feel is important, what is going to make your community stronger.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any questions for Emily?
No, but thank you for your help on the application.
Absolutely. No, my pleasure. It was a great application, and again, it's amazing to see how these communities are each developing and changing, and if the ZRC can be a part of that and help connect folks, all the better. So we hope that Lamarcon continues to support the ZRC and be involved. You're such an essential partner in this as really the crossroads of the Zion area here. You know, it's a key entrance point for folks who are visiting the park or visiting these other communities, and again, we just want all of these communities to shine and to be able to actualize themselves the way they'd like.
Emily, could you speak to what has been accomplished, a few of the big projects, and then also what we're working on with the trails and the transportation?
Absolutely. So out of all of the talking that the ZRC does, there is a very concrete financial benefit too, in that we've taken on a couple of substantial projects, a few that you might all be familiar with. One is the public transit between St. George to Springdale. In 2017, the ZRC put together an integrated transportation vision. So basically trying to look at the whole region, how transportation operates, and what we'd like to see in terms of improvements. And so some of the takeaways there were a multi-use trail, better public transit in the form of a bus system, electric bike and vehicle charging. They presented that vision to UDOT, who would come out with hotspot funding, and were awarded over $10 million for the public transit line that is now in place and operating between St. George and Springdale. So that was one of the earliest wins of the group. But we took that integrated transportation vision and continued working on it with the multi-use trail. The ZRC, with its partners, applied for funding for a feasibility study on the multi-use trail that was begun in 2019 and completed in 2020. Using that feasibility study, the ZRC approached UDOT after hearing that it had received state legislative funding for active transportation projects, and was again awarded over $10 million for that project, and we're really excited to see Lamarcon lead out in construction there. But again, it started with the ZRC vision, with the feasibility study that we helped fund it, and now it is in place. So each of those projects, again, began really as an idea between these different groups coming together and collaborating. And then through partnerships, we were able to build it up. So again, sometimes it takes a while, but eventually those really substantial and important projects came to fruition. And then the last one is just the corridor management plan. So I mentioned that earlier. The original corridor management plan covered the area from Lamarcon to the east entrance of Zion National Park. With this updated version, we've expanded that so that it covers the entirety of State Route 9, all the way from Hurricane over to US 89 in Mount Carmel Junction, and Kane County's commission supported that too. So once again, grant funded, collaborative, and we're excited that everyone's on board.
Okay, any other questions? Thanks, Emily. I appreciate all the work you've been doing. Thank you. Thanks for being here tonight. Next we have, what do we have? The hospital.
Thank you. We're not the whole hospital, but on behalf of Intermountain Health and St. George Regional Hospital, we're happy you've afforded some time tonight to give a little update on the hospital. My name is John Cottom. I'm the chair of the board of trustees for the hospital. With me is Mark Evans, who's the chief operating officer. We have a short video we'd like to start with.
Okay, great.
To residents here in Washington County, we have established a strong foundation of excellence right here at St. George Regional Hospital. Whether it's simply birth or a new care plan for an individual birthing experience in one of our beautiful birthing centers,
or inpatient rehab, where our specialists focus on helping patients recover their independence after stroke, brain, or spinal injury with personalized treatment.
And even robotic surgeries, where we can exercise extreme accuracy and precision in performing our surgical procedures. The exceptional health care at St. George Regional Hospital has led to us being ranked number one in the nation by not one, but two separate healthcare organizations. The first is the Vizient Award, where we were ranked number one in the nation out of 177 hospitals in our cohort. And the second is Fortune's Peak AI 100 Top Hospitals. We're committed to providing care for you and your family so that you can live a healthy life.
The Southern Utah area is growing at an incredible pace. That means our facilities need to grow to meet those needs. The new Surgical Tower Expansion will add four new operating rooms and create additional space for our central processing, pre and post options.
We couldn't be more excited about Intermountain's strategy to increase primary care in Southwest. Earlier this year, we opened the Washington Fields Building, and in May, we had our groundbreaking ceremony for the Desert Carter Primary Care Clinic.
Our future lies with our children. At Intermountain, we are committed to providing care that meets the needs of our youth. This includes our new youth engagement center, which opened this year. We provide partial hospitalization to adolescents who can receive treatment for behavioral health needs.
Immune cell therapy is one of the incredible avenues in the field of medicine. St. George Regional Hospital is the first in our nation to expand immune cell collection for CAR T therapy. During the collection phase, patients are saving about a week of travel and time away from their support system.
We're bringing innovative cutting-edge technologies to St. George Regional Hospital, things such as transcatheter tricuspid valve replacement. Intermountain Health has granted early access to life as a minimally invasive option, providing faster recovery and better outcomes for patients.
We continue striving to fulfill our mission to help people live their healthiest lives possible.
Thank you. Do I have a slide here, maybe?
No,
not that one. This one, thank you. Yeah. We do have a bold ambition, and that's to be a model system, a model hospital, and a model healthcare system. And what that really means is to have healthier people at a lower cost and providing the best care and experience possible, and we work really hard to do that. Next slide. I think a lot of the community just doesn't understand the importance of having a nonprofit hospital to serve them. Some of the key aspects of that, being nonprofit means we are not bottom line oriented. We don't have to make sure we have a bottom line to pay shareholders, dividends, and owners' bonuses. We can that money just goes back into the system, or it may not be there at all if the costs come too close to the revenues. But it allows us to provide a more comprehensive care, to provide services that a lot of for-profits can't because they either don't make much money or they don't make any money. We provide some services that literally we can't bill insurance companies for. They don't reimburse for them, but we found them really important to the overall care for our patients, so we provide them anyway. And then also, we provide an awful lot of charitable care. Everybody gets care regardless of their ability to pay. Next slide, please. We've had a lot of big rankings. Let me just talk about, we just received the Magnet one, that's on the top left. That's the most prestigious and highly recognized award for nursing excellence, for nursing. And what that really, there are very few hospitals that get it. We work hard to get it. But what that means is that our patients get better care because we have better nurses, that we attract better nurses because they want to be part of a really successful team. We attract better doctors because they know nurses are critical to good outcomes for their patients. So it's a critical award, and we're proud of it. The other one I just mentioned is a visiting award. It was mentioned earlier in the video, but basically out of our cohort of hospitals, roughly 200 nationwide, we were number one. We didn't share that. We are number one, and we were last year as well. We're just really proud of our hospital. We're and happy to be able to be here to serve our community. Because it is your hospital. It's not owned by anybody, but the community.
Next slide. So these, you have the fact sheet on your desk, too, about kind of what we were able to do last year. This is just a highlight. We'll go to the next slide to talk some more in depth. So last year, you see we had 2,800 babies delivered, 16,000 surgeries performed, 71,000 emergency room visits. Next slide. This is the executive team up top, Natalie Ashby, hospital president, Dr. Carroll, chief medical officer, Ruben Evans, chief nursing officer, myself, the chief operating officer, and Joel Jacobson. And then we are so grateful to have John Cotton as our new board chair. We've had Cindy Gilbert for a few years, and now it's John's turn, but he's been on our board for quite a few years. We've had a few new additions this year, Brett Bowler, Kyle Case, who's Huntsman Senior Games, Robert Bahunin, and others. You can see them up there. Okay, next slide. So when John was talking about a not-for-profit versus a for-profit, so if we were for-profit, we would have paid $4 million in estimated property tax. In 2024, we donated $29 million to the community, whether it's writing off medical bills. That's the opening for the partial hospitalization program for people. We donate a lot of things. Next slide. And so here's some of the, every year we do a community health needs assessment. We work with the public health department of Washington County and different things to say what's the number one need in our community. And I don't think you'd be surprised that it's behavioral health, mental health needs are a huge thing, substance addiction, suicide. We're very involved in all these things. We're also part of a thing called the Alliance for Social Determinants of Healthcare. So we work with different agencies to create housing stability, financial stability, food security. We do a lot of vouchers to increase access to care, whether it's to different clinics or even just transportation back and forth. And then preventing childhood injury and illnesses. I, for example, am on the board for the Washington County Children's Justice Center. Every one of our executive team members are on some kind of community board. Next slide. So again, this is the some of the things that we gave additionally to the $29 million. So over $1.2 million in community service and education. That's things like balance classes or stroke guidelines, get with the guidelines kind of thing. We work a lot with the Doctors Volunteer Clinic and the Family Health Clinic in St. George to serve underserved populations. And then we give a lot in scholarships to Mojave, Utah Tech, Southern Utah University for nursing programs. Next slide. These are just some of the community groups. We consider ourselves a community asset. That's what a not-for-profit is. We're here, so here's just some of the things that we've already mentioned: Doctors Volunteer Clinic, Dove Center, Washington County Justice Center, Switchpoint. We do a lot with Switchpoint, and so on. Utah Food Bank. Next slide. So, we again, this all we want to say is we're here for the community. That's our mandate. We feel a moral obligation to bring the best healthcare we can here, and we're always looking for ways that we can do it better. So. Any questions?
I think we're all glad you're there. All of us have probably used the facility. So, any questions?
It'd be nice to have more surgeons so the waits weren't so long.
Well, that's why, if you heard on the video, we're building a new surgical tower for ORs. Right now, we're out of block time. So we can't bring more surgeons because we don't have the operating rooms to take care of it. So that actually will be done about a year from now, the surgical tower. So it's four more ORs, a whole new central processing where they do the sterilization. We've had the same size central processing unit as when we had six ORs, and right now we have 20.
Wow.
So it's very cramped. So they're more than doubling their space in there. So we're also creating a 4 additional beds that will be done here in December. But then we're going to start renovating the West Tower that's been there since 2003. So it's not an addition of 34 beds quite yet, but in 2 years it will be. So.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any other comments? Thank you for coming. I appreciate your report here. Nick, we forgot to put you on the agenda. Is that okay if we have a Nick report from the fire district without being on it? Nick, you want to come up and tell us what's going on with the fire district?
I'll be quick. We have a board meeting on Monday. And it was a quick meeting because we had to get to another board meeting for the property that we're going to try and acquire for and add in the building. And we had 5 items, and we went through them really quickly. We talked about, we had a public hearing, which nobody commented on the sales tax being assessed at 0.33%. It was voted on and approved, so that will go into effect in April. And then we should start collecting money from that. And so the amount that we collect, or the amount that we determine, will lower the property
tax.
We thought was it's going to be 1.2, approximately 1.2 million. So, and it will be more the next one. It's a full year. So, we had an oath of office. We had an individual who went from a firefighter to an engineer, so we promoted that individual and took the oath of office then. And then we had a discussion, and then also they approved the tentative budget for 2026. We went through that. As far as calls for the month of October, there was a total of 108 calls from Station 43. 71% of those were EMS, 2% was fire calls, and then 27% were other calls, other hazard calls that were responding. And that's pretty much all I have.
Any questions for Nick? Yes.
What was the budget for the coming year?
I don't have the whole. I can get it for you, but I don't have the whole the budget.
I just haven't read it, and I'm just curious.
Okay. If you'd like, I can get it for you.
Okay. Thanks, Nick. Thanks for coming tonight. Let's see. Next on the agenda is our consent agenda. If there is no discussion on the consent agenda, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
Mayor, I'll make that motion to accept the consent agenda. The items will be addressed in single motion unless removed from the request of the Mayor or City Council. The Declaration of Conflict of Interest agenda, the meeting minutes of October 15, 2025, and the checks and invoices for $142,062.14.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Patty?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Next item on the agenda is business items. It's a discussion and possible action to approve a resolution number 2025-16 adopting a City of Leverkin data privacy plan to take effect January 1st, 2026. Who's going to do that? Kyle?
That's just, as a city, we have to adopt that. We have until January 1st to get that done. They have drawn up, and so we brought it to City Council. It's based on the last legislative session, we're required to do that. So with this, we'll be in compliance.
Do you have any discussion or questions for the council?
Kyle, I just have a quick question. You might not have the answer to it, but on the last page of it, the data breach response, it says that the city will investigate and document any incidents and provide notice, if there was a data breach. And then it references state code. Do you have any idea what the, from the date the city realizes there's an incident to what the state mandates that the city lets the public know? I'm just curious.
I won't answer that. Yeah. I can find that out. I just know that basically we have an IT group, a Tech Legion, that monitors that, and it will be in conjunction with them. They do the monitoring for us, and then as far as the timing of letting the public know, I'm sure it will be as soon as we possibly could.
Yeah. Well, I'm guessing the state of Utah is a little quicker than private corporations, but it would be encouraging. Yeah. So that's all.
Any other questions? Dave, no? Darren?
No.
Okay. I entertain a motion then to approve resolution 2025-16.
Mayor, I'll make that motion to approve resolution number 2025-16, adopting a City of Lubbercan data privacy plan to take effect January 1st, 2026.
Do we have a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve the Utah Law Enforcement Information Sharing Analytic Program Agreement between the Utah Department of Public Safety and the Washington County Spillman User. Faye, can you explain?
I know a little bit about this, but I don't know if I know enough to answer any questions you may have.
Okay. Chris, do you have anything to add to it?
I think we just defer that to Nick on the next meeting, because he has the itinerary and agenda for that. So it's pretty much the state mandated program that we have to provide our data to. And there's an agreement, since we use film along with that. I really don't want to say the wrong thing. So that's what the agenda is. It's the agreement that we share our stuff to the state of Utah for data collecting, the FBI database, and all that.
Okay.
Isn't it a local agreement that includes all of the communities in Washington County that have police departments? The county has already approved it. They've already signed it. Nick has reviewed it. I know that, and he was in favor of it. But again, I don't know that I can answer specifically the question very well about it. So, if you like, if you have questions, we could wait and
table it till next meeting.
Table it till next meeting, or we could approve it.
It's up to the council. What did your comments, Blair?
You know, I read it. I know a little bit about it, but I was just wondering if there's any future costs for us as a city that we're stepping into, and I didn't know. There's none stated in this agreement.
For this topic, no.
This is just sharing information, isn't it?
Yes. All this is just sharing the information to the state of Utah, which it's mandated by the state of Utah anyway that we have to do it. I think what you're asking is the cost for Spillman, which is, that's a whole different item.
And it also gives us the opportunity to opt out if it's not working. You just have to give a 90-day notice.
Okay.
Every time you fill out a report, you have to go through Spillman, don't you?
We use Spillman, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we, all our data, all our reports, all that is collected in the database of Spillman. So like I said, I think that's what this is allowing Spillman
to share it
all
with the state.
Yes, with the state of Utah.
You have any questions, Patty?
I don't.
If you're okay with it, then I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I'll make that motion to approve ordinance, or where is it? The Utah Law Enforcement Information Sharing and Analytical Program Agreement.
Second.
We have a motion to second. Darren?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Thanks. Next item on the agenda is discussion and possible action to approve ordinance 2025-07. This is an ordinance repealing the existing nuisance ordinance and adopting an updated comprehensive nuisance ordinance defining, prohibiting, and providing for the abatement of nuisances within the city of Leverkin. Faye,
let me explain a little bit about this. For some time, I've been a little concerned about our nuisance ordinance. It's a fairly antiquated ordinance in terms of how it defines nuisances and what we do to eradicate them and how we proceed. So I had my eye on the nuisance ordinance as one that might need to be
updated.
Amended, yeah. And then over the past couple of months, there have been a couple of situations that have arisen where people have complained about particular situations. I've talked to Chief Michitelli about these situations, and as we looked at these situations, we were trying to decide whether they should be approached from a standpoint of nuisance or whether they should be cited instead for violation of the business licensing ordinance. So we kind of talked about that a little bit. And so as a result of all of that, I embarked on this quest to draft an amended nuisance ordinance, which you have in front of you now. Meanwhile, talking with Chief Michitelli about this one particular situation that we were scratching our head over, I think Chief Michitelli and I have decided that it would be probably best if we were to proceed with that particular situation as a violation of our business license ordinance. It's easier, it's cleaner. So Chief and I talked about doing that. At the same time, we wanted the council to take a look at possibly amending our existing nuisance ordinance for future situations. And so this ordinance you have in front of you tonight is for that purpose. You know how you draft up something and you're all engaged in it and you think you've covered all the bases, and then you leave it and come back after a couple of days and you see some holes in it still, some errors or things that still need to be corrected. It's kind of how I feel about this ordinance. So tonight, all we want to do is to kind of introduce this ordinance to the council, have you take a look at it, make any comments you might want to make. In the meantime, I would like to go back and make some additional changes, send it out to the council before our next meeting so that we can then consider a corrected ordinance or a revised ordinance instead of the one you have in front of you. So as far as tonight goes, I would just simply suggest that we postpone this or continue this to our next regularly scheduled council meeting, giving us time to make any revisions, giving time for the council to make any input that they'd like to make, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. Does the council have any questions or comments on it tonight? There.
One of the things I have was the 20 days. In other words, an officer, whoever the officer may be, the nuisance officer, sees a problem and writes a citation. And then at day 19, they address that nuisance. It can stretch on for longer than that. So can we close that up quite a bit?
Well, each situation is a little bit different. We're really not looking in these kind of situations to saddle somebody with a criminal. If we proceed with the nuisance ordinance violation, that's actually a criminal violation. We're not really looking to saddle somebody with a criminal conviction in my eyes. We're just looking for compliance. So if you've got somebody who, let's say after 10 or 15 days, he starts making some cleaning up and starts improving. In my view, I don't think there's a real problem in giving him additional time to do that if he needs to do that.
And the reason I was bringing that up is if a contractor drops a load of dirt in the street, covers half of the street, when you're looking at a 40-foot street and it's out 15 feet into the street, and you cite him and he's got 20 days to move that, is there some way you can write something in there that the nuisance officer can say, that needs to be removed in ASAP, because that's a draft.
For each day that the violation continues, in effect, it's a new violation.
Each day within the 20?
Yeah, even within the 20 days, yeah. So that's going to put some pressure on him to fix that situation right away. I think we also have other provisions in our ordinances that would cover that particular situation, blocking streets, that kind of thing, outside of other than just the nuisance ordinance.
Where are the penalties for the nuisance ordinance?
It's a Class C, makes it a Class C misdemeanor, which means it's punishable by jail time of up to 90 days and a fine of up to $750 for each violation. Now, that doesn't mean the court's going to do that. Very rarely would you have a court put somebody in jail unless they just simply, refuse to do anything. Then you might see the court get upset and do that. But typically the court would impose a fine of some amount, give the party so many days to get it cleaned up, and then the court will review it again. That's typically how it would be.
Thank you. Yeah.
Patty, you got a comment?
I almost hate to bring this up, but in definition on exemption for critical infrastructure materials operation, definitions, you've got reprocessing. There is no way that could be construed to be a batch plant.
No.
Okay. Do we need to say batch plants not allowed?
No.
In this? Okay.
This language, you'll recall that when we did the agreement in lieu of the SIMPA,
right,
we did an agreement. This language is directly from that agreement.
Okay.
So we're okay there.
Good.
I'm sorry. Okay. I was going to say, later on the agenda, there's a couple here that wants to speak to one of these situations that sort of gave impetus to us redrafting the nuisance ordinance. So later in the agenda, they'll want to make a few comments, I think.
Is that allowed?
Well, I think they just want to do that under the section of the citizen comments.
Says no action can be taken on matter raised under this agenda item. It's not for items on the agenda. That's a citizen comment.
Well, I think it's up to the mayor. If you want to allow it, you can allow it. In my view, I think it's always better policy to let people make comments.
Okay. Yeah. As long as you say it's up to me, then we can do that.
Right.
Yes.
How do you allow for some common sense? You know, you can see situations like, for example, I'm on the mosquito abatement. That on that flyer I bought a few months ago, they were there. You can get mosquitoes in a little kid's shovel, like sand shovel, with those new 80s. So, and I, there's offensive odors. Have you lived next to Kyle in barbecue?
Everybody cooks, and I'm around the corner.
You know what I'm saying? How do you create common sense in some of these?
Yeah.
If we took it to the letter of the law, some of these.
That's always a problem.
Okay.
We typically wouldn't enforce anything unless it was complaint. It's usually going to be complaint driven, for one thing. And then secondly, it's going to be up to the nuisance official, nuisance officer, to make that determination of whether this is really a nuisance or if it's just something that, hey, get this fixed.
Well, does health and safety supersede something like that? Because I would think mosquito issue, if it's like old used tires that are laying around and stuff like that, I would think that you can.
It's an old fountain that's not just there for months and months and years, or a hot tub.
That's what this ordinance is.
An overzealous someone in charge of this could cite anyone for me. Mosquitoes now even grow in wet dirt. They don't even need water. It's a mess. But anyway.
Do we have any wet dirt around here?
Yeah. when you do the drip line.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure how to draft something that covers all of those issues, all of those concerns and questions.
Maybe just the intent. I don't know if you can draft. Our intent is to use common sense and not be overburdensome. I don't know if you can write that into law. But
yeah, a lot of times we'll use the word unreasonable in the ordinance so that. So it gives the nuisance officer a little bit of leeway for him to determine what's reasonable and what isn't.
Probably the most calls I get are old junk cars and junk yards.
Right.
Even my family's like,
why don't you do something about those cars?
The problem with the nuisance ordinance, as always, is that, you know, what's one man's treasure is another man's trash, right? So you can talk to these folks who have old abandoned vehicles, and they're saying, "Oh yeah, we're going to use them to get those parts out of there, or we're going to fix that thing up. That's a really valuable vehicle, you know." So it has to be drafted in terms of unused or not capable of being used. We might maybe even put in a time frame. That if it's there for a certain period of time, it's not used.
Sometimes if it's visible from the street, you can make sure that if we're going to have stuff like that, it's going to be in the backyard.
Yeah, that's the community I moved from. They got to have it behind a fence.
Yeah.
Could you make a stipulation that you can only have two cars in your driveway that work?
I don't think you can do that as part of the nuisance ordinance. That might be something else that we could do, but I think if you were to do that as part of the nuisance ordinance, I think that might not be important.
Dick, your grandkids could never visit.
Any other comments? Okay. So do we need a motion to table?
Yeah, okay.
Entertain a motion to table this.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to table the discussion on the ordinance number 2025-07 and bring it back to a further council or future council meeting.
Do we have a second for that?
A second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second, Darren?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Addie?
Yes.
Glenn. Okay. Next item is discussion and possible action to approve the interlocal agreement with the county regarding the expansion of the animal shelter. The county's already signed this, I believe, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've signed it. So, any discussion on that? They're providing the funding for the expansion of the animal shelter. It's not going to cost us anything, is that correct?
That was our big concern, right?
Yes.
We needed that from them.
They'll fund the expansion. So that.
So how much bigger, do you know?
It's Connex box. It's about 6 to 7 additional cages.
Okay.
We also had a question about bringing in more animals, even though they would provide the physical shelter and that, but the cost of having employees or getting volunteers. But I don't know if we've got on 4B, the county agrees to pay city $25 a day for any dogs housed at the shelter, which was obtained outside the city limits. I don't know if that $25 per day was their way of saying, yeah, we recognize that you might need more manpower, or if the city's comfortable not having that addressed, but that was one item previously.
They've addressed that. He's going to come up with the amount that acted like that or cover whatever we needed.
The chief, you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
At least that's what he told me.
Okay.
Any other comments on that? Okay, I entertain a motion to approve this interlocal agreement with the county on the expansion of the animal shelter.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement with the county regarding the expansion of the animal shelter.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. Blair?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Darren?
Yes.
Next item on the agenda is a discussion of possible action to approve the water surplus agreement, which we discussed previous to this meeting in a work meeting. And I believe the consensus was to table this till the next meeting to give you an opportunity to go through the items that we discussed and the items we tweaked on it to change. So entertain a motion to table.
Mayor, I'll make the motion to table it. I would like to say first that I want to thank you and Kyle, in particular, and Derek, for making that last minute work meeting happen. I think that it was very valuable to really delve into the different issues. It's so complex and it goes into perpetuity. So I think it was really good to
I agree with you. We've been working on this for quite some time, and I hope I didn't indicate to you that we need to be moving forward with it, but I do want all of you to understand it well, because it's and I have to admit that there's been a lot of hours put into this just to make sure that we're protecting the city for the future generations of the city, that we'll have water available for them, and I really think it'll be a good thing that we'll be able to use the surplus water that we're not using now, that just goes down the river to somebody else, and we're preserving that for our future and generations. And so I appreciate all the comments on that as well. So we have a motion to table. Is that right? Did you table?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to table items 5, 6, and 7, if that's okay. The water surplus agreement, the MOU for the water surplus agreement, and the approval of the water exchange agreement.
And we probably ought to include the MOU, is that correct?
Yes, you should.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right. So those three items?
Yep.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Blair.
Blair? Yes?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So those three items will be tabled till our next meeting. Next item is a discussion of possible action to approve a privacy wall for the trail. This is an item that we have an obligation to build this wall with the agreement we had with Bo. Is it Bo?
Bo and Kaiser.
And Bo and Kaiser.
Bo's driving Kaiser.
Where the trail's going behind their house, and they gave up property for that trail. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so that was part of the agreement that we would build the wall. Derek. Discuss some bids on that. Would you like to take a minute and explain what we've got as far as bid-wise on it and the cost? And maybe that'll be part of the next item as well, the wall regarding the wall at the cemetery. But
I need to borrow a
Do you have the paper?
No. How are yours?
Sure.
You want me to flow right into the cemetery with the walls?
Might as well. We'll need two motions to approve on both of those if we decide to do that. So
after the last discussion on budgeting for walls, the mayor and Kyle wanted me to go out and get some bids. So we're going to do it's a block wall that's light black, which is what the developers use down there in Conway Hollow. So we're responsible for an 8-foot wall, 425 linear feet, at $70 per linear foot, which would be $29,750. We had talked about potentially taking that wall an additional 280 linear feet beyond what we were contractually obligated. But we decided, due to the concerns we may have on other phases of the trail, we just are sticking with what we contractually agreed to do. So that would be Ford privacy wall, which we have to do, $29,750. The cemetery wall, if you look at, well, we do have a map that shows that amount of, so that would go basically from Main Street, past 700 north, 425 feet east. And then the cemetery, and I put pictures down. I was going to give you some examples of active walks, but due to trail issues we've been trying to resolve, I didn't. So we got a bid for, there's 660 total feet from SR9 or SR17 to Main Street. The first 25 feet on the SR17 side and the Main Street side can only be 4 feet high. The rest would be 8 foot. The pictures that you have is the wall that's pictured there is the wall that's on the south side of the cemetery now. So we're going to try to match that as closely as we can. Knowing that that's been there for a while, and with the sun bleaching and everything, colors aren't going to be perfectly matched up. But then the other one is, represents the split face. So the middle two rows within the 8-foot wall and the same within the 4-foot wall will be the split face. So it kind of gives a little bit more, a little bit better look, a little classier look to the wall. So for that bid, for the 8-foot wall, 610 feet of that, $44,530. For the 50 linear feet of the 4-inch block is $3,200. So the total for the cemetery wall is $47,730.
That's less than half of the original quote that we had using Rhino Rock.
And we won't have to change our city ordinance because our city ordinance already states that it will be cinder block.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The only thing, Mayor, that I did not put in here, which I thought about today and have a chance to get back with you guys, is we need to add another $2,500 because we actually need to get that survey, that location, to make sure we're actually putting it on our property. So I did not figure that in, but that's basically what a survey costs.
Yeah.
What you're for, so.
So that would be the price if they do the wall behind Bo and Kyson's house and this all together, is that correct?
Yeah, it'd be 40,
but
7 or 8 plus the 24.
That's putting these both projects together.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's
that right?
You can separate them or not.
So you got $29,750 for what we're responsible for. Then we've got $44,530. Plus $3,200, so basically $77,480 plus an additional $2,500 for the survey. $79,980, so around $80,000. You're going to get that all done,
and that would be doing both walls.
Both walls. So that's privacy wall and cemetery wall together.
So it's our recommendation that we don't go with the original Rhino Rock. And I guess that makes me wonder how the other, whoever gave us the bid before was $60,000 on block wall, and 6 years later it's
less than
a dollar cheaper.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What's that soil like out there?
Which part? The privacy wall?
Or the cemetery? Yeah, for the cemetery, do we have to worry about?
No, they're going to, they're soils. Required to, they're going to dig down, they're going to get a soils
test
done on it. They'll decide if we need to over-excavate and bring in soils and compact back up, and then the wall will be engineered because it's 8 feet out there in there. So,
yeah, this includes the engineering, is that
correct? Engineering is already included in this. We got a provision in there for the soils company, and the if you have the 2500 survey, which we definitely want to make sure that the wall and the footings of the wall, which you know extend beyond the wall itself, all sit on city property, so there's never going to be a problem if the neighbors don't like the city.
And we're required to do the wall between the two, the subdivision by the trail. And we'll have to take that money out of savings. This is just $50,000 more than we would probably need to take out of savings to do the cemetery wall, which you guys would want to do. But,
I think this is a great opportunity to get a cemetery wall done. And we're getting it for less money than what the other one
and
was going to be. So.
The only difference would be we'll use the red rock in the cemetery that they'll. We'll just try to match what's already there.
And then we'll have the split face on there as well. So
on
that
the city side.
Yeah. Make it look a little bit better. Any comments, Darren?
No, I love that price difference is great.
Yeah.
Dick, are you okay with that?
I really like both of them. I think it's a great idea. Is there any chance the cemetery wall could be finished before the Wreaths Across America, mid-December?
Probably not.
I would have a doubt.
Okay.
Blair, do you have any comments?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
There are some issues we're still working with on the privacy wall that we're working through, and I don't know if they can do one, and then what do you think about that? If we're issues with that, can they do the cemetery wall and then do the other one later?
I would imagine they can definitely do the cemetery wall. We can just say that's what, the order we want it in.
Right.
We'll do that first. Then until we work out the issues with Boomin on the other wall, they could at least do half that wall if they wanted to do it, or wait until it's in a better spot that we can actually go all the way through with it.
So there would be the need also for a budget amendment to bring the money out of savings.
Would it have to do that? By when? When would we have to do that?
Well, it just depends on when you want to give us the go ahead. But we could push this. We do one around the first of the year. I don't know how long the bid's going to be good for, but you've got one more meeting this month and the possibility of two in December, but one like we just won.
Okay. Well, I'll entertain a motion to approve this if it's okay with the council.
It just shows discussion, but you can give us direction. Say, yeah, we're good, and if you guys are good, then we can start preparing to do that and get that done. We actually have money in the budget we could do. We just need to be keen on making sure that once we spend it in the budget amendment, you replenish it.
Yeah. We need two motions on this, is that right?
Yeah.
So, a motion to approve the privacy wall for the trail. Anybody like to make that motion?
Mayor, I'll make the motion, item number 8, to approve a privacy wall for the trail.
A second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Darren?
Yes.
Dick?
Yes.
Patty?
Yes.
Claire? And now a motion to approve the wall at the cemetery.
I'll make the motion that we approve the, I don't know how much it was, already. $50,000 for the cemetery wall.
Okay, we have a second?
I'll second. I'll
okay,
second
we have 2 seconds.
Yes.
Claire, Patty?
Yes.
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 Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is mayor and council reports. Just I have a couple of things. We want to plan on a work meeting on November 19th at 5 p.m. To discuss the
workforce housing and mixed use.
Yes. And I would like all of you to plan on being there if that's possible. And then also we need to have the election canvas November 12th. That would be 7:30 in the morning here at the council chambers. I need to make sure we have at least three of you come to that too. Is everybody available?
What day was that?
That is the 12th. That's a Tuesday. Is that a Wednesday?
Week from today.
We're required to approve the election canvas. And
it should only be about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I already have it on my calendar, so yeah.
Blair, can you be here?
How many do you need?
Well, that'll be three. And
Mike is
going to be here. The next item, thing I want to mention is Dick's resignation. That's going to take effect tomorrow, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. We appreciate your service on the council, and I hate to see you go, but we understand because of health reasons that you've decided to resign from the council, and that's going to be effective tomorrow. Tomorrow, advertise for anybody that would like to put their name in to fill Dick's place on the council. That'll be open for 2 weeks. And then it looks like it will be the December 5th meeting that those that have put their name in will come before the council, be interviewed by council members, and the council members will pick whoever's going to take his place. Dick, you need to be here because you'll still be able to vote on who's taking your place.
That's the only thing you can do that after tomorrow.
Right. That's all you will be able to do, but we'll expect you to be here to vote. Okay?
Yeah.
And at that meeting, we'll give you a little award.
Goodbye.
Yeah, we'll just wave goodbye to you. Okay. But we do appreciate all your service on the council. You served as mayor and served as a council member for I don't know how many years, but it's been a long time.
Well, it's been good work with there. There's nobody that I've worked with that I haven't appreciated. Mm-hmm. Good people, everyone out there.
And I can.
You guys aren't running again, are you?
They're just running away.
You still are required to come to some meetings until the end of the year. So, but we appreciate all of you that are willing to serve our community. So, let's go with reports from Blair.
And I haven't had any meetings, period, this month. So, we do have one first of December. For the solid waste district, and that'll be my next meeting. So
okay.
I won't be able to report on any until
okay.
December.
All right. Patty?
Yes. Kyle, I just sent you an email with some images of the corridor trail. Would you be able to pull those up, do you think, and show? I just barely sent the email to you. In the meantime, I would like to report that the city was able to successfully put in an application for downtown development planning and an overlay zone that will really cover the downtown area, being the SR-17, SR-9, 500 North area with Maverick Davis, that area. To create hopefully a downtown and then also the overlay zone that would reach down into the Zion Canyon Hot Springs, maybe a village type area. So if we get the award, we should know by mid-December and then the planning could start in January. We're pretty sure we know the contractor we want to work with, but it was a really good effort. Garen secured funding from the county for our match, so thank you very much for that. Kyle got a lot of emails and whatnot from me, and then Emily Friedman, who's a contractor for the VRC, also does freelance word crafting and is very good at it, and so she did the lion's share of the work on the actual application. So it was very much a joint effort. Colette Cox, who's with the Rural Department of the Governor's Office, gave us a lot of help. I don't think we would have had the known quite what to do or even the confidence to go after it without her help. Don't you think, Darren?
Yeah.
She was that good.
It's a 90,000.
Yeah, so the overall ask is 90,000. The county is has contributed 25,000, assuming we get the grant, and Laverkan is contributing 11. So we also, this grant has to have actionable items which will come into the actual zoning, creating the zones and some of the marketing. So there'll be a lot of public outreach, so everybody in the room, please, when you see those notices, please come and speak up. Planning Commission just gave her, the only thing on the Planning Commission, they gave permission for that, and then for the application, and then the Zion Regional Collaborative Winter Workshop is tomorrow here in this room, and it should be very good. We've got at least 20 people from everywhere attending, maybe not the federal workers whom we normally have, BLM and the Forest Service and Zion National Park, but everybody else will be there. So is that coming up, Kyle?
These pictures are having a hard time on. I don't know if it's the internet. I know it shows my internet is low, so
okay,
it's having a hard time loading just one. So
okay, there it is. So we'll go through these. So this is the Zion Corridor Trail, which is a multi-use trail. It will be paved when it's finished. It's going to run from Springdale down into, well, to Confluence Park at the north end through Riverwood Park. So this particular photo I took, you can see that the ground has been prepared for the pavement. So the ZCT, or Zion Corridor Trail, this is an image looking south if you were at 970 North, and it runs, this section of the trail runs from 970 North to 740 North, and then Cottonwood Hollow is that group of brush right on the right side, which will be important in the next image.
I bet it might have a hard time getting the image. I'll give it a shot and see.
It's going to be a very beautiful trail. Laverkan can be very, very proud of it.
I know that that part of the, on that last image that you just shown is going to, there are some people, that's the same image, isn't it?
Okay. So this is from the same vantage point, but just shows a little broader view. So all of that brush area is actually Cottonwood Hollow. And if you are driving on 740 North in the subdivision going out toward SR-17, all of that brush that you see on the side is this area, and the trail will run down through Cottonwood Hollow, so it'll be a really nice shaded little area, potentially benches in the future.
I know the Interstate Rock is going to also raise this wall.
Yeah.
How many course? Three courses?
That's 393 block that will.
And we're going to assist in that as well.
Yes.
Minorly, so.
Yeah, we measured that up yesterday, got a count on it.
Because it raised that.
Is it only walkable or can...
Bicycles, tricycles, non-motorized.
Nothing motorized.
You could have pedal assist or trike assist pedals. You could do it, Dick.
Jazzy.
You'd have to come pick me up. Right?
I'll come pick you up.
Okay.
So this is just kind of from that same spot, just showing the two spurs down at the bottom of the image are from the trail. and so people can access it from either north or south. And so this is about the way it'll go, and where the green line ends would kind of be out there by SR 17. And then from SR 17, the trail will run north along SR 17 and eventually go under the Laverkan Creek Bridge and continue south to Confluence Park. So we've just got a few more. So this is just going down Main Street. Right now it's blocked off, but going down Main Street, this is the west side. There was a sidewalk here. That's been taken out. The ground has been prepped, and it's ready for pavement, pretty close to being ready for pavement. So this is looking north toward Tocqueville, say.
So will the trail go all the way to that wall, or will it be a sidewalk?
It'll go all the way to the wall, yeah. It'll be 12 foot wide.
It'll act as a sidewalk and a trail.
Okay.
This is what it looks like at night.
Yeah. So we may or may not get the. Actually, the next two are really very cool. They show where the trail intersects Main Street, and it comes down off the hill between Zion View Estate and Cottonwood Hollow. And originally, yeah, so trail entrance from Main Street looking east. So if you can see the cinder block wall on the left, that will be the left side of the trail opening, and then it'll be, 12 feet, a little more than that?
Yeah.
And then...
This is also where the privacy wall that we talked about earlier.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then right there in the center of the photo, you can see two rods sticking up, and the next photo will show this a little better. It's a diagram. But that's basically going to be kind of like a pedestal with a button on it. And so when people want to cross, they can hit that. Lights along the crosswalk start flashing. And then up at the top of the hill, there will be a flasher to alert vehicles that they need to slow down, that they're approaching a trail. So that, we were very concerned about safety because Main Street is a main thoroughfare, and we wanted as much safety in it. The other part I should mention, let me talk about this first. So that area, that crosswalk detail, it's actually where the coloring along those black horizontal lines are. That's going to be concrete. So the street comes down, and then it levels out a little bit. The lines are printed. And then the concrete apron is about 25 feet long, which will give a lot of stability to it so that it you don't have pavement breaking, et cetera. It's easier to keep the lines painted, the safety lines painted. And then on both sides of the street, you can see where the curb kind of juts out into the street. That's what they call a traffic slowing mechanism. And so basically, when pedestrians or cyclists are trying to cross a busy road, instead of crossing our 60-foot wide road, mm-hmm. they'll be crossing more like 40-foot road. So much safer for a pedestrian and cyclist to have that bump out. It's completely smooth, so there won't be anybody falling off their bikes or whatever. But a lot of good engineering on this, and also everything on the trail meets the standards from the Southern Utah Trail Standard study that Laverkan approved. And I think there's just one more. And this is just up between the neighborhoods, higher up, a few houses in from Main Street. We're looking back toward Main Street, looking west, and this is what the trail is going to look like. So on the left side, you can see a little bit of an exposed pipe. There will be a wall holding back all that, a retaining wall holding back all that dirt. And then over on the right side, right where all the not, what do you call the chunky gravel?
Riprap
is. You can see the base for a wall line. That will also have a wall. So in this section, there will be a wall blocking in the trail. And Interstate Rock, if all goes well, they'll have all of this that I just showed you tonight completed by the end of the year. And if it doesn't go well, it's just because of outside influences that need to be dealt with. But sooner than later, this is, we started this in, Emily had said we did the feasibility study for this in 2019-2020. We got the money from UDOT in 2021, and here we are, 2025. Liverkin will have a first chunk of it done, so you can be very proud of Liverkin. That's all I have.
Thanks, Penny.
Sorry, that was a little long.
We saw Bigfoot. It's got a sighting.
Yeah, he's there. Just one note as well to make on items 5, 6, and 7. Those three items were all presented to the Water Board and approved by the Water Board in their last meeting, which was a couple weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. John, you were there, was that right? Anyway, that they are, they, that was approved by the Water Board, just so everybody knows on the council. Dick.
Nick already gave the fire department report. He did a good job on that. House Creek Sewer District, we haven't been to that for...
You didn't make the last meeting, but the last meeting we toured the treatment plant, and it's going to be operational, I believe, in January. They'll do some preliminary operations on it, and then I think they'll start accepting sewer water in the first part of February. So that will be coming online fairly quickly. Darren?
I was able to go to the Mosquito Abatement Conference, and it was quite interesting. There's so much to taking care of these mosquitoes that none of us know. We just are blessed to have a really good department. One of the things I thought was very interesting is the use of drones in mosquito, spraying, competing mosquito spraying. And it's a little bit difficult here in southern Utah because we don't have a lot of open fields and marshes like they do in northern Utah. But they are using drones like crazy up in, you know, along the lake and both lakes, and it's quite amazing. We haven't had a lot of cases of West Nile or encephalitis or any of those down here, so that's good. I also went to the historical committee, and they're going to start putting plaques on some of our historical areas. So one of the things that we need, if anyone out there has, they're concerned about the money situation, they don't really want to necessarily raise money and then put it in the city. They'd like to be able to just hold that themselves. So if anybody has a nonprofit background, it kind of makes sense to me that they need to create a nonprofit or tie into a county nonprofit or something so they can raise money and hold money. And the last thing is I had the behavioral health people from the Intermountain contact me, and they just offered their anything they can do out of the bridge to if there's anything we can think of that they can do to help prevent or help with preventing people from jumping out there. And I think they were thinking more in the line of information or posters to call, you know, a hotline or something. So I don't know where that would fall within the city, but that they've offered that to us.
Carol, have you heard anything from the contract?
They talked about it in a DTAC meeting, and it's still not put out to bid, but they said it should be by middle of this month put out to bid for the contract to be awarded for the fencing around the middle of the bridge.
Okay.
That was as of today at 1 o'clock.
Okay. Do you have any other things to report?
Me? Just so you know, We've started the remodel of the bathroom at Lana's Park, and hopefully sometime around the first of the year we'll see that done. What we're doing is we're changing that from two bathrooms, men's and women. We're making four bathrooms that will be unisex. Anyway, be nice once we get that done. So that's been started. You approved that in our last budget amendment. And then Winterfest on the 5th and 6th, wreaths across America on the 13th at the Wilburton City Cemetery, and the Christmas Eve program at 6 o'clock on December 24th.
Okay.
Oh, and if you haven't noticed, it's dark out there now. But there's new signs on the building that we put up. It's one of the final things we did with the remodel. And it's behind this deal here, too. When it goes, the screen goes up, you'll see what it looks like. Are you going to anticipate?
Yes.
Kyle, did you get the email from Lisa?
Yes. Lisa and Christy and I are meeting, I think, tomorrow morning to go over that.
Okay.
Get it all taken care of.
Faye, do you have any other things to bring up to the table?
I was just going to kind of mention that I will be preparing a notice of vacancy for Richard's situation so that we can get that started. We have to publicize it for X number of days, so I'll do that in Nancy tomorrow. The other thing we need to be thinking about is, over the next couple months anyway, is replacement of Blair on the solid waste board, and also Councilman Hershey on
Ash Creek.
Ash Creek.
Yeah.
Ash Creek and the fire district.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's it.
All right. Thank you. Last item on the agenda is citizens' comments. This is a request for future agenda items, and I guess we can make comments on one of the items on the agenda tonight. So if you'd like to come up and comment, state your name and where you live and how much money you have.
How much money you have.
I appreciate you letting me talk. My name is Chris Linkley.
We'll give you 3 minutes. Okay.
And then 541 West Center Street.
All right.
Okay. I was going to talk about what you discussed on number three here, but I guess it's up for future use, future to be done. I might state that this person, that this house that I've been complaining about, is running a business, a tire business. Mosquitoes, there's tires all over the property, okay? It's a business, and in my opinion, should not be going on there, okay? Not much more I can say now. It behooves you, as council members, I think, to drive by before you do anything on this matter and look at that property so you have an idea of what is good and what is not good.
I actually drove by yesterday, or Monday, and saw that, and I understand.
So the rest of you,
this one was that address?
491 West Center. It's right on the corner of 5th West and Center Street. Okay. You can't miss it. Okay. It's got tire changers in there. He has tires delivered by outside vendors. He's got tires all over. So that's about to cover it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for coming. We've got it on the radar. Thanks. Any others that would like to make a comment tonight, citizens' comment? No others? If there are no other comments, appreciate all of you coming tonight and staying till the end of the meeting. And we're going to adjourn now. Thank you.
I need to come to the next meeting.